Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Wat Dawu, the Comedic Path to Peace. I am your host, Reverend Dr. Queen Mother Imaku, and so glad that you have joined me on this beautiful, beautiful day. You know, we're dealing with a lot of seasonal changes up here in the Northeast, and so there are a lot of us who are dealing with physical change as well. I know that for me, this whole back and forth and back and forth with where it's warm during the day and then it's cold at night started to take a bit of a toll on me. I ended up doing a lot of lime juice and lime tea. You know, that's where you just take slices of lime and, you know, toss it in water and boil it to make yourself a tea. It's also very effective if you have it with honey, but taking it straight up, no chaser, straight no chaser is really... really a very, very potent way of being able to knock out any kind of cold or pre-cold symptoms, pre-pneumonia symptoms. You know, for those of you who have been following me for a while, you know that I've got these lung issues that I've been working on over the years, and I've done a great deal to strengthen my lungs. Give thanks and praises that Natura gives us so much to work with that is here for us to take. Naturally, as opposed to just running to the store and grabbing something. Because listen, I was not above going to the store and getting some NyQuil, not so much because it did anything to help me, but because it just knocked me the heck out. And so now, having greater information over the years that I've amassed regarding what to do to prevent and also to enhance my immune system because I supposedly have a compromised immune system too, but that's just gotten better and better and better over the years because I just decided I'm not going to accept this. You know, certainly things, there are times when things happen when, you know, okay, well, this is the situation, so this is what I'm going to do about it, as opposed to being told you have this and then just feeling that your life is over or that you really have very little to do in terms of the choices you have over your own health care. Listen, let me tell you something. The better informed you are regarding your rights as a patient, when you go to see a traditional doctor or if you go to a traditional hospital, the better your health care will be. The better treatment that you get, even in terms of the forms that they shove at you and tell you that you need to sign. I've had hospital workers be completely astounded and frustrated because I would tell them, well, first of all, because I would read everything first. Do not just sign everything. Do not just sign anything. Read first, all right? Because a lot of times you're signing things that are really compromising to what you want for yourself and are in complete disagreement with what your own philosophies are. And so I read it first and always told, you don't have to read, just sign it. I read everything. No, no, just sign. And then I would read it and then say, I'm not signing this. But you have to sign it. No, I don't have to sign a thing. I know my rights. One time, this one man, I was in the emergency room. I was in the emergency room because I don't know what. Just trying to get myself better at that point because sometimes you're too weak to take care of yourself and sometimes you do have to go to the hospital, you know. So anyway, I was, as sick as I was shoved, I had these forms shoved at me and so, you know, here, sign this. And because I refused to sign it after I read through it and after being, numerous times told, don't worry about it, don't read it, after I read it and I said I'm not signing it, this dude got the supervisor. Supervisor comes out and looks at me like, oh, something must be wrong with you. But first of all, she started talking to me very loudly because she assumed I wasn't from this country. I don't know why people think talking loudly is going to make you better understood. You know, loudly yelling in another language is not going to, you know, this doesn't substitute for interpretation. But anyway, so when I started speaking, then she realized that I was from here and also that I was well-spoken. So then she kind of backed up, and I explained to her, I know my rights. I don't have to sign anything, okay? But you are still, by law, bound to give me care, whether I sign this paper or not. She left me alone. Everybody around her who was trying to get other people to sign things, they tiptoed all around me. Know your rights. Know your rights, okay? Because after all, your body, and we'll be talking more about the body today, and your governance of your sacred vessel, how that has everything to do with everything. All right, first we're going to open up with the 42 oracles of Maat. Now, again, I explained that if you go and look up the pronunciation by reading the Metanetcher, it's a good thing to learn the Metanetcher. That's what I also teach in terms of Kemetic physics. If you are following the Kemetic path, it is vital for you to be able to read, speak, and write our language. And you will learn the truth of a lot of things, including the fact that there are many words that we've been told that have actually been mispronounced. It's supposed to be Maat. Okay? We begin with our foundation, the 42 laws of Maat, or the 42 principles of Maat, the negative confessions. Anacharak Maat, Dua Maat, Sperada Maat, Hekim Hirupin. Show yourself. Manifest for me, Maat. Thank you. I pray for your wisdom and guidance on this day. I will not do wrong. I will not steal. I will not immerse myself in depression. I will not violate another being physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. I will not hoard, disrespect, abuse, or misuse the land. I will not waste precious food. I will not waste precious water. I will not jealously desire to obtain that which is not mine. I will not eavesdrop or pry into matters outside the dictate of nature. I will not defile or debase my purity. I will not abuse my sexuality. I will not engage in infidelity with another man or woman's mate. I will not engage in sexual fantasies or sexual acts with a child. I will not cause needless terror. I will not be arrogant and egoistic. I will not act with selfish, destructive aggression. I will not cultivate a quarrel from nature. I will not take a life outside of Maat, nor disrespect the life force. I will not cause the shedding of tears. I will not sow seeds of regret. I will not mistreat children. I will not mistreat animals. I will not be vengeful and angry except for a just cause within Maat. I will not be easily incited to action or contention. I will not uphold an untruth on or against someone else's behalf. I will not lie. I will not raise my voice unnecessarily. I will not speak maliciously against another being. I will not exaggerate. I will not talk too much. I will not act with sneaky manipulation. I will not be impatient or judge in haste. I will not entertain impure thoughts. I will not wish evil upon another being. I will not perform negative energy work. I will not turn my ears away from words of truth. I will not desecrate holy places. I will not desecrate holy traditions. I will not steal from or neglect giving to the temple offerings. I will not rob from the deceased. I will not blaspheme the Most High Nature. I will not betray my venerated ancestors. Dwama Eight, Medu Neferet. Thank you, my Eight, for your good words. Now, I'm going to be sharing just a couple more quick prayers, and from here on out, I'm not going to be doing the English translation just to speed things along. If you want to find out the translation to these prayers, and I guarantee you I'm not going to be calling curses over you or anything like that, but you can contact me to find out about receiving the prayers, both in the Medunetcher and also, and that is meaning in the how to speak it in the Kemetic language and then also in English. We'll do our general prayer to the Netcher. Anacharak Necheru, Dua Necheru, Eredi Necheru, Maetanu, Anku Jaseneb, Mer Orek, Emchetepu, Emchauna, Emkered, Emhau Akeru, Emhau Kepara, Emhau Kemet, Emhau Taurte, Sheki, 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 Dwau, 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 Eng, Eng, Eng. Now, prayer to our ancestors. Anacharak Eakut, Anacharak Shepsu, Dua Eakut, Dua Shepsu, Erdi Eakut, Ah Shepsu, Rek, Hek, Hekau, Mer, Neferet, Hetepu, Orek, Tekemet, Anu, Anuk Kut, and Shepsu Nebu, Teki, 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 Duau, Duau, Duau. All right. By the way, you also will find out that Ankh is really supposed to pronounce Ankh. If you listen to our brilliant scholar, Dr. Ben, you will find that he also pronounces it Ankh. It is Ankh. There is something very essential about that long A sound. And the metaphysics that go along with it help you to understand why it is Ma'at and also Ankh. That long A sound that draws. Okay? Okay. Today's message is Nebuchadnezzar. What's in your cup? Nebuchadnezzar. What's in your cup? Now, for those of you who have been in various social settings where libation is being poured, and I'm not talking about to the ancestors, where it is, you know, people are getting their drink on, okay? Or even if it's a situation where you're in a very light social setting and everyone is doing coffee and tea, but then you come upon that person who just seems a little too happy. And ultimately, what's the question? What you drinking? What's in your cup? And generally, the person is trying to hide the fact that they've the person has slipped some liquor into the punch or the coffee or the tea, okay? Hiding, trying to shade or veil the truth, although the condition of the person, in addition to the liquor that's on the person's breath, gives the person away. The truth always, always, always comes to light. It may not be in the time that we look for it to come, but it comes. And we just did the 42 oracles of Ma'at, the principles of Ma'at, so that you are living a life that is based in truth, that is grounded in truth. And so there's a difference between discretion and also hiding the truth. I mean, there are sometimes there are certain things that should not be said. You know, there are some people who say, because now the saying is to be as transparent as you possibly can be. So that means no secrets. Okay, so where is the discretion? Okay, I mean, if that's the case, does that mean that you go to the bathroom in a public place with the stall open? Does that mean that you leave the house without your clothes? There are certain things where it's appropriate to be discreet. Running off at the mouth all the time is a nice excuse for not having control over your tongue if you're saying that you're just trying to be as honest and as transparent as possible. But then that means that people aren't going to be able to trust you because you're always talking. And if you're going to talk when you feel like it, then that means that you're untrustworthy, because that means you're not being sensitive as to whether or not what is being said is appropriate. And also, you're not really focusing on what the effect of what you're saying or doing has on someone else. Okay? I just wanted to clear that up, because I'm finding that using that whole "I'm just trying to be as transparent as possible" thing is a good way of just being able to I don't want to use the word snitch, because it has gotten so many, well, so no one has ever been positive, but it means then basically that you are thought of as someone who will rat somebody out, okay? So, I just wanted to say that before I go any further, before we start talking about Nebuchadnezzar. Because Nebuchadnezzar is deep, so deep. And, well, I say that every single week, because every single guardian is so, so deep. But there are facets that folks really don't understand, because there are general pieces of information that are put out there for people who are not really building a relationship with the guardians in order to find out the various nuances that go along with each of them. Case in point, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar has been characterized as a hoochie mama, as a hoe, as a quote-unquote mistress, as a harlot, and she much maligned like Hedheru, is very powerful, also because they both contain Het in their renu, in their rens, in their names. Het. What is Het? Het is the house. What is the house? The house is, on the one hand, the temple. On the other hand, it is your body temple. So to have these guardians that have Het in their renu, in their names, and to be so completely miscategorized, I think is really ironic. Why is Nebuchadnezzar characterized the way that she is? Well, you know, 2 weeks ago, well, yes, we did part two weeks ago of the lessons on Wasir or Asar. We heard in part one the connection that she has with Wasir or Asar. For those of you who do know the story, and listen, I just found out from someone who has been, quote unquote, following Kemetic culture for a long time, based on the person who has been giving her information, that she never even heard of Nebuchadnezzar. She knows about Aset, you know, she knows about Set, Jehudi, had Heru, Heru, Asar, of course, but she had never even heard of Nebuchadnezzar before. And I said, she is vital to the story. And that's because, okay, for those of you who do know the story, if you don't know the story, I'm not going to go into the detail right now. Listen to previous shows, or you can even Google it. Google to find out what the stories are with Nebuchadnezzar and Wasir, all right? But here's a long story shortened. Here's the Reader's Digest version. She, the sister of Aset, slept with Asar, her sister's husband. Now, that right there sounds wrong. And in many ways it is. In truth, the reason that she has gotten the bad rap that she has is because people don't understand her principle is that of getting you to face the innermost fears that you have of yourself and the greatest things that you are trying to hide from others. She is the shadow of all sex. And anytime you're dealing with the shadow side of yourself, then you're dealing with that part that you really don't want people to know about. Instead of embracing all of who you are. In the story, Aset embraces her sister. She recognizes that she needs her sister. And she did. In order to find her husband, whose body had been hacked up into 14 pieces, because after Nebuchadnezzar's husband, Set, discovered that his brother, and his wife had hid it, he wasn't too happy and planned to destroy his brother. And again, here's a highly abbreviated version of the story, but he had him killed twice. Why twice? Well, because the first time, Ast and Nebuchadnezzar found his body and resurrected him. Second time, after Set found out that his brother was alive again, then he had his body hacked into 14 pieces. But guess what? Ast and Nebuchadnezzar traveled far and wide, found all pieces except for the penis. Very significant. Put him back together, Set fashioned a new penis for him, for Asar, and they, with Nebuchadnezzar at the head and Set at the feet, the foundation, breathed new life back into him, brought him back to life. By the way, the word for inhale in the Kemetic language is Serek. Serek, S-E-R-Q, Serek. Inhale, take a deep breath in, feel your breath. Now, Nifa, exhale, Nifa, breathe out, yes. That feels good, yes? That gives you the assurance that you are alive, yes. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is, just as there are other guardians that will give and take away when it comes to the life force or aid of the taking away, the being taken away, it's the same with Nebuchadnezzar, okay? Because, you know, I talked before about how Wasir represents the degeneration that happens, like with plants, when they go back into the ground and decompose. Here is Nebuchadnezzar's function. Now, she offers you choice, okay? Based on your choice, then you deal with the consequences of whatever you chose. If you made a choice that was not necessarily the best choice, then her response is, oh, dang, now, see, I got to break it. She breaks you down and breaks you down and breaks you down until you get the lesson. All right, so now why are we having all these successive talks about these guardians that break you? Okay, well, because when you are truly seeking to have a new life, you cannot expect to hold on to the things that are causing you stagnation. Stagnation. That's at Wusakrer, which is the sacral. Okay? I've done all this research and have found the names that are appropriate to each of the aritu, or the chakras, in the Kemetic language. For sacral, it is Wusakrer. And the sacral is the place of joy. It is a place of flowing water. It is creativity. It is positive relationships, harmonious relationships, bonding and building with those who gravitate toward the same beliefs that you hold sacred. You have moved on from the root where you have gotten your core values from your family, and also your beliefs based on your experiences of what to do and what not to do. You go out into the world, and now you are taking those sacred values and beliefs and thoughts with you. And you want to partner with people who will help you with living what you believe. Yes? Okay? That's where you build community. That's where you find mates. That's where you find friends. That's where you find, hopefully, good coworkers who will be able to work as a team with you to get a project done. There is freshness, there is renewal, there is vibrancy, because as you have people join together, that brings a whole new synthesis in the energy, okay? But when you are stuck, when your ponds have become stagnant, when your rivers, I should say, have become ponds, and they've become stagnant ponds, okay, because ponds represent pondering and meditation. It is also wisdom of the ancestors. So ponds and lakes are not bad things, okay? There's a lot that goes along with the mystery of the waters connected with lakes and so forth, as I shared before. But now, if you're supposed to be dealing with rushing waters, rivers, oceans, streams, springs, the water needs to be clear and flowing. These are your ideas. This is where you are in life. This is your activity. If you are stuck, that's a problem. That means also being stuck in outmoded ideas, stuck on some horrible things that have happened to you in your life. Now, it's not to say you're supposed to ignore the horrible things that happened to you in your life. You're supposed to learn from it and grow from it. You don't stay stuck in it. Some people will just keep replaying what happened to them over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And then you offer them a solution, and they don't want the solution because they've been so accustomed to being in this stagnation that that's what's become as comfortable to them as your favorite bathrobe. Okay? You have to decide, you know what? This bathrobe is threadbare. I think I need a new bathrobe. Or I need something else. You have to work to get out of that stagnation. And how does this relate to Nebethet? Her symbol is a tall building, okay, which is Het, the house, the temple, the body, all right, has a little door. And then on top of it is a huge bowl. The word for the symbol is Neb. That bowl is Neb. It means all. It means mastery. When you master something, you know all there is to know about it. The original term for ascended master, Neb, master, to master, someone who has mastered. The female is Nebet. Nebet. Okay? So you have the bowl and the little Brit that's underneath it. And so her goal is to get you to master your own house. The symbol altogether, though, the house, the tall house with the chalice on, with the bowl on top, forms a chalice. A chalice. And what do you do with the chalice? The chalice is something that's used in sacred ceremony in Kesu, okay? Kisu, that's a ceremony. And it is also used during what has now become known as communion or the Eucharist. The original term for Eucharist would harken back to Hukareste, okay? That is the Hu, which is the blood, and Karastet, who is Amenit, or Karest, which is the funeral or the mummified body, or Karashati, which is bread and cake. So you have Hu Karastet, or Hu Karashati, all right, which is, or Hu Karest, which is the Eucharist. And the chalice contains the wine, which represents the blood. The blood, which represents sacrifice. And as the wine is poured into the chalice and prayers are said, and then the chalice is lifted up to the heavens, as you pray over it, then you ask for the divine mystery. The divine mystery, the shat, to take place in transmuting the blood into wine, okay? Being to enable you to ingest the so-called blood. Now, back in ancient times, blood literally was used. Yeah. Things changed, and it became wine, being symbolic of the blood. The blood that was used was menstrual blood. This is part of the women's mysteries. Nebehead is also part of the women's mysteries, yes. And the whole idea of the transmutation process is a vital one to understand. Now, in terms of drinking the menstrual blood, I'm not saying that was part of the women's mysteries. However, later, as men became hip to what was going on with women's mysteries, and the power of the blood, they found it valuable if they were able to get a hold of some menstrual blood and be able to drink it, okay? And then they learned to recreate that through the use of mammal blood, okay? Animal blood in general. Then it was changed to wine. Although wine has been used in ceremony for a long, long time, going again all the way back to Kemet, yes, wine actually was used. And the process of making wine is very much like the process that you go through with Nebethet. Stay with me. Everything always goes full circle. So I always bring it back, okay? So with wine, you take grapes and you press the grapes. Yes, mejut, the process for the grapes, pressing. But it also means, in general, just aside from the grapes, that also means to press, okay? Mejet, to be more correct, okay? It is extracted juice, something squeezed. Pressed out, to squeeze, to press, okay? Insistence, the necessary result, the necessary result. With Nebethet, she will press you. she will put pressure on you in order to bring about the necessary result, okay? There is an image of her, for those of you who are on Blog Talk right now, at the website, I have all these images that I posted, and one is of Nebethet, and she's got her hand held up. It's very interesting because it's facing her. There's another image that I found of Osset, where also she has her hand held up the same way. Now, if you were to imagine that the hand with a mirror, you'd get the idea. Because she is sending energy to you that is going to make you look at yourself. Mm-hmm. So in this story with Othir and the fact that she came disguised as his sister, why is that? Because she's a shapeshifter, okay? She never comes straight at you. Or until, well, directly in the first place. When she first encounters you, she doesn't come straight at you. She comes in the guise of many things. Another one of these shapeshifters, yes. And then if you choose to delude yourself, because deep in your heart, you know who it is. You know what the situation is. But if you allow yourself to be tempted by what appears to be before you, then you've got to pay the consequences. Face the consequences and pay the price for your choice. Because Nebuchadnezzar is choice. She's the roll of the dice. Okay? And so if you go through the whole process where she begins pressing you, and trust me, you know. You know. And it's not like she takes any glee in doing it. But she does it because she is really trying to refine you. Okay? It's not that she's out to destroy you, per se. She is out to refine you. So you start having a bunch of life situations that get thrown on you simultaneously. Boom, 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 boom. Each one is harder than the next. And with each, you think to yourself, man, if I had just done such and such, then it comes back to you again. Boom, here's another one. Oh, man, why did I do such and such? Here's another one. Oh, my goodness, why did I do such and such? To the point where you feel like you've got 10 dresses on top of you. And you now have to get out. I talked about yielding, the importance of yielding. It's the same thing with this. You've got to yield. You've got to find a way to uncle, I give. Okay, listen, I shouldn't have done such and such. All right, I learned my lesson. I've rethought this. And so can you help a sister out, you know? That's what it's like dealing with her. But believe it or not, there is love that is in it. You know how, for those of you parents out there, for those of you attentive parents out there who are really concerned with the well-being of your child, and when you come to a place where you recognize, you know what, I can't let this child get away with doing X, Y, and Z. You know, he's got to learn. So you may take this away and then this away, okay, because the child still may be cutting up, all right? Then it's like, okay, well, now you can't do this. And it's not until you realize, it's not until the child realizes that the reason that these things are being taken away all stem from the one act that he or she did, okay? Once they get off, they get off punishment. Once they get the lesson, true, yes, okay. So now these are kind of hard terms, I suppose, because a lot of people like to these days to hear things that are things that are going to give you constant comfort and so forth. And I can do that. Listen, I used to be the enabler from hell. I can comfort like you would not believe, Basically why all the men that were in my life tried desperately to come back to me. I can make you feel really, really good. But eventually people do know that there is this other side of me that I had to really learn to develop in being able to speak truth. And the truth is not always pretty, especially when you're trying to bring something to somebody that they really don't want to face about themselves and that they think that they've been doing a really good job of hiding. As a teacher, I can't constantly coddle people. If you go to our website, akerukameticktemple.info, and that's Kemetic, K-H-A-M-E-T-I-C, A-K-E-R-U-K-H-A-M, as in Mary E-T, as in terrific, I-C. You will see where, we are all about the love. As a teacher, I am all about the love. But also as a mom who now has two adult children, I've had to learn how to occasionally do tough love. Otherwise, you know, I wouldn't have these people run over me. And I realized also that I would be putting a couple of hellions out in the world if I were to coddle them all the time. You can't do that. You've got to learn that your actions have responsibility. Your actions have a bearing on other people, okay? So basically we say we're about to love, but don't come here looking for coddling, all right? Don't do it. If you want to grow, then you're going to get even-handed nurturing, even-handed, all right? Now, regarding nurturing, and I mentioned about parents, and I've come to understand over the years how not everyone who has a child is naturally a parent. A parent, okay, P-A-R-E-N-T. I'm not saying a parent, I'm saying a parent. And that was a hard lesson for me to understand, because to me, if you had a kid, then that automatically meant that you were going to be nurturing toward that child. But not everybody is wired that way. And generally, in our community, in the Black community, I can say, that if there was a situation where there was a parent that was not necessarily consistently maternal or paternal, nurturing, appropriately nurturing, then there generally would be somebody else in the family to be able to step in and take up the slack to create balance, okay? All right, so how does this relate to Nevethead? Well, from her union, from that one-night union with Wasir, she ended up becoming pregnant with Enbu, the Prince of Darkness. And according to legend, she wasn't really, really feeling the mother thing. And Ost helped to raise Enpu. Again, going back to the whole story about Ost or Ostet, and seeing how she perfectly demonstrates community and seeing the forest for the trees and doing what is for the better good and teaching how we need to work together, okay? And you understand a person's shortcomings or you understand their various characteristics and just realize, okay, well, you know what, this is something that I can do, so let me step in. Now, listen, I'm not indicting people who are not maternal, because like I said, it's taken me some time to just understand that. Some people just aren't. And these days, with all the things that are happening with medications that are given to women and also just the very act of not breastfeeding your child and being encouraged to put the child on the bottle right away instead of breastfeeding, there is something chemically that happens that changes the maternal instinct in a woman. And so, you know, as a result, we have a lot of moms who in their heads want to be maternal, but just there's something that's just a disconnect that's preventing them from doing it. And then others just really emotionally just for some reason are just not connected to their children. So it's important for us to recognize when we can step in and help. Sometimes it's a matter of educating. You know, there are some people who just don't know how to parent. I offer parenting classes in order to help people, especially with the challenges today. It's so very different today than it was when I was raising my children 33 years ago. And I tell you, I am so very glad that I'm not raising my children now, because you all have a lot of obstacles that are put here in society in order to keep your children distracted and in order to make them think they don't have to respect you. But then there are a lot of things that parents are giving into that are allowing them to be distracted and not paying as much attention to their children and all that society is putting into to their thought processes. It's got to start with the parents stopping, taking assessments, and looking at who this is that you've brought into the world and what is going to happen to that child. or what could happen to that child, and what your role is in turning that child's life around, especially if the child has begun to go astray. It's in the brain. The word for brain, wujit, okay? The word for turning around, for changing, to reverse, to change, to turn around, is wujib. Wujit, the brain, wujid, wujib, to turn around, to reverse, to change. You see how they're related. But it takes guidance. Check. Guidance. Okay. Now, the wonderful thing is that change is available to you. You can change. Even if you came up in a house where nobody ever showed you any kind of love, any sense of direction, if you were in an environment where everybody was morally bereft, but there's a seed of light in you that is longing for something else. As long as that seed of light is there, and as long as you focus on building that light, you can. Nemhat is who we call on in opening of the way when we are doing the directions. Nemhat first. She represents the sacred east. East is the potential for change. As the sun rises and you see another day, that means you've got another chance to get it right. Okay? As long as you have breath, she is in the direction of air. East is air. And she is a co-guardian of the Long Zong with Hapi. Now, this is not Hapi, the Nile River. This is Hapi, the guardian of the lungs, okay, associated with the canopic jars. And so, she governs the sacred breath in that way. Okay? Again, take a moment and enjoy your breath. Sodek, inhale. Nifa, exhale. That feels good, right? Yes. As you expand the lungs, and it is the reassurance that you are here and that life is for the living. Life is for the enjoyment, but also for the lessons. And the more that you get the lessons, the better you can enjoy your life. You see, okay? So, now, the whole thing of how Nebuchadnezzar got such a bad rap, let's look at this, okay? Because in a story, this is what she represents to people who really don't take a much deeper look at the story. She looks like and sounds like the chick that comes to steal your husband. Or even the one that you're jealous of and suspicious of because you don't feel so good about yourself. So you automatically categorize her as that hoochie who tried to steal my man, okay? Or you think back to every other person that you felt threatened by. Then from the man's perspective, it is, well, Wasir wouldn't have slept with her if Nemhat had not tempted him. Why is it always on his sister? Okay? And it takes two. It takes two. Now, indeed, there is a greater lesson that's in this in terms of understanding the properties that both Nemhat and Wasir bring in rebirth, rebirth, okay? In, again, the whole breaking down of what was. Now, I'm not talking about the breaking down that happens when people get brainwashed. That's something I've addressed in two of my lectures that I have out there regarding brainwashing and psychopathic leaders. I'm not talking about that, but leaders are very much aware of the fact that in order to get people who are behind them cooperative, that they've got to assist in the process of changing the mindset about certain things. Now I'm not talking about brainwashing. I'm talking about retraining the brain. Retraining the brain. Okay? Utib, ujit. Changing the mind. changing the mind. And for any situation that you've gone into, whether it's a new work environment, whether it's a new school, whether it's moving into a new neighborhood, you know that there's a period of readjustment. You can't go in with doorways and expecting that everybody's going to roll the way that you roll. Hopefully you will find people who are like you, again, Lucifer, sacral, and be able to enjoy life with. But when you're in a community setting, whether it's on the job, in your neighborhood, whatever, there's got to be some readjustment because you're realizing that you're dealing with a variety of energies that are not familiar to you, okay? If you are in a neighborhood and you decide you're just going to do everything the way that you want, I'm going to park wherever I want, I'm going to go and take the newspaper off my neighbor's porch, I'm going to go into so-and-so's mailbox, you would not be welcomed. You might not even be there long. You've got to readjust. Now, in coming into any kind of a spiritual system, it's the same thing where you allow the period of readjustment because it is learning new spiritual concepts as opposed to bringing all that you have and staying stuck in that because that also can bring stagnancy. A big problem that a lot of teachers have today regarding the whole thing of people coming and saying they want to be your student, but then they're going to try to teach you, is because they usually don't want to move out of the notion that they need any information. And even though they've come to you, still they want to prove to you everything that they know and then try to subjugate the teacher, which is really, aside from rude, it's also, it shows a lot of hubris, it really does. There's a lot of ego. And if that's the case, then this isn't going to work. And I've had situations with students like that where it's just like, you know what, I'm sorry, this is not working, you know. So you've got to yield. You've got to be open. You've got to be open. Okay, un hat, open heart, all right? Unujit, open mind, yes. Unka, open spirit. You find yourself dealing with Nebuchadnezzar when you are trying to be spiritual or claiming to be spiritual, pretending to be spiritual, and not on your task, okay? The best thing to do is to surrender to the flow. That does not mean that you give up your intuition. You need your intuition in order to tell you what's right and what's wrong. But there's a difference between listening to the intuitive voice and listening to the ego. They're two separate voices. It's important to be able to make the discernment between the two. There's that word discernment again, discernment. Discernment comes through the choices you make in life. What you choose to put into your sacred chalice. That nebo on top of the house also represents the mind. What are you pouring into your head? What are you allowing to be poured into your head? What is your body being flooded with? Take a moment and focus on whether your life is flowing or stagnant. You know, water can get stagnant even in a cup. In my daily rituals that I do, I am pouring water. You know, we're a water temple. So all of our rituals involve lighting candles and a lot of pouring of water. And if I go away for a few days and come back, then of course the water gets stagnant. I change the water because I don't want the water to be stagnant in my life. And certainly I don't want the water that connects me to the Netsuru to become stagnant either. Okay? Refresh your water. Refresh your water. Tell yourself on a daily basis that your life is new and wonderful and that you go with the flow of what is divine, what is sacred. Take control of your sacred chalice. You are valuable. Think of all that you bring to the world. What are you hiding? Why? Are you pretending to be two different people? Do you embrace that part of yourself that society might question? If not, then why not? Aft and Nebuchadnezzar together, Aset and Nebuchadnezzar, represent the whole being, the whole being. Aft knew to integrate the energy of her sister and to accept her, showing that she was accepting all of herself. Own all of who you are. And if you have some things that need to be worked on, then be brave enough to make the change. Udeb. I'm going to leave you with that today and with some fabulous music that Priestess Newt from our temple shared with me today. And it made me so, so happy when I heard it. I said, I've got to share this. And let me see where it's now. There it is, yes. Liquid Spirit by Gregory Porter. I want to thank you all for being with me today. And follow us at the temple, Akeru Temple of the True Living Waters. We also have a Facebook fan page. We have a lot of events coming up that are on our website at akerukometictemple.info. If nothing else, go to the page for Blog Talk here where this is posted, and you'll find the links for that website as well as for mine. And I get questions all the time about where people can purchase my lectures and also my ebooks and so forth, and you can find out more there. Be kind to yourself. Master your vehicle. Welcome the change. You are worth it. In Kutener, in light and love, Merea. Much love.
Unreroute the rivers. Let the damned water beat. There's some people down the way that's thirsty. So let the liquid spirit free. The people are thirsty because of man's unnatural hand. Watch what happens when the people catch wind, when the water hits the banks of that hard, dry land. Clap your hands now. Go ahead and clap your hands now. Clap your hands now. Go ahead and clap your hands now. Get ready for the wave. It might strike like a final flood. The people haven't drank in so long. The water won't even make mud. After it comes, it might come with a steady flow. Grab the roots of the tree down by the river. Dip your cup when your spirit's low. Clap your hands now. Go ahead and clap your hands now. Clap your hands now. Clap your hands now. Dip down and take a drink and fill your water tank. Dip down and take a drink and fill your water tank. The rivers. Let the damned water beat. There's some people down the way that's thirsty. Let the liquid spirit free. The folk are thirsty because of man's unnatural hand. Watch what happens when the people catch wind of the water hidden banks of hard, dry land. Clap your hands now. Clap your hands now. Go ahead and clap your hands now. Clap your hands now. Dip down and take a drink and fill your water tank. Dip down, take a drink and fill your water tank. Liquid spirit. Liquid spirit. Liquid spirit. Liquid spirit. Clap your hands now. Liquid spirit.